Hello, everyone.
I invite you to pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength, our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
What are you excited about today? Besides John and Christy's wedding, what are you excited about today? Are you excited about the growth that's taking place in your life? Are you excited about the opportunities for service and good deeds that you can do in the world? Are you excited about the variety of possibilities the future holds for each of us? The unfortunate fact is that many people are not excited about much of anything. Many people live their lives filled with cynicism, despair, depression, and anxiety. What gives you enthusiasm for life today? What gives you energy for life? An old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life, and he said, "There's a fight going on inside of me," he said to this child. "And it's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil, anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." The grandfather continued, "The other is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humanity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." Same fight, he said, is happening inside of you, grandchild, and the same fight is happening inside of every person. And the grandchild thought about it briefly and then asked, "Grandpa, which one will win?" The Cherokee grandfather said, "The one you feed the most." Pick up any psychology journal, magazine, blog, IG, Facebook, TikTok post, Instagram, and you will be hard-pressed not to find something about depression. Some studies say depression is the number one problem in the country today. One report I read stated that the incremental economic burden of the U.S. adults with major depressive disorder in 2020 was estimated at $210.5 billion in 2010. In indirect hospital costs and drugs. The truth is, we have no way of knowing how many multiplied billions of dollars it costs in indirect costs, such as broken families, alcoholism, drug addiction, and people who have become emotional cripples. There is much in the world today that can seriously undercut enthusiasm and dampen the joy of living. Take the front page of any headline news, for instance. There is much in the world to be troubled about. However, it's not only local news, it's also international news that can lead to despair about life and despair about self. An illness that you thought was minor turns into something that's life-threatening. A parent that you thought was in good health is suddenly struck with a severe illness. A good friend dies in the prime of their life, while uncaring, mean, selfish, self-centered, narcissistic people seem to live until 100. Letter comes in the mail or the email, and you receive a phone call with news that disrupts your life. Come to church or your faith community looking for people excited about life, and you find people who seem bored with nearly everything. You reach out to people around you, and people ghost you and disconnect from you. You do what you can do to help others, and those who you help, when you seek help from them, they turn their backs on you. All of us will experience the internal fights between those two wolves that the grandfather talked about to his grandchild. It's not hard to find a lot of evidence to justify being angry. It's not hard to find a lot of evidence to justify being cynical, to be depressed about life. Start looking for all of the things that you can find to justify a negative view about life, about self, about others, and you will come up with more data than you will know what to do with. And if we are not careful, we will spend our time looking for evidence to justify the conclusions that we have already reached about life, about the world, about ourselves, and about others. If I believe that people are no damn good, did I say that? I will find enough evidence to prove that. If I think that nobody should be trusted, I can find the data to justify that position. Now, don't get it twisted. Some people are no damn good. And unfortunately, there are people in the world that cannot be trusted. But if we believe this is all there is, that perspective becomes a prison that limits our energy and restrains our enthusiasm for the future. It leads to cynicism and bitterness and depression. It cuts the nerves of energy and the joy that you all were singing about earlier today. And it keeps us from achieving all that we could possibly achieve. Jesus lived a life with a different perspective. And that's the title of my message today. Jesus lived a life that's markedly different from most people with whom he came in contact with. The thrust of his gospel was an invitation to view yourself, to view others, to view the world in the light of God's love, in the light of God's power, in the light of God's justice. And one of the things that characterizes Jesus' ministry was his ability to see beyond the problem to the possibility. He viewed others not so much in terms of what they were, but what they could become because of the liberating power of God. An ordinary fisherman becomes the rock, according to Peter, upon which the church is built. A dishonest tax collector becomes a trusted friend of Jesus, and outsiders are invited in. The unclean are restored to fellowship. The hopeless are healed. People are healed. Angry Pharisees are who persecuted him once become leaders in the church. People who heard and believed and lived the good news of Jesus and his liberating message were set free from the prison of negative perspective and given the possibility of a new perspective. A new perspective of transforming their life through love. An example of this transformation is found in the lesson that Lisa read for us today. When Jesus tells his listeners that the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which is really the smallest seed on earth, but which, when it's planted, becomes one of the largest shrubs. When Jesus says this, he's invited them, he's inviting you and me to look at the world through different lenses. He's inviting you and me to look at the world with a new perspective. In this brief parable, Jesus says, this is how we do it. Sorry, wrong place. He says, this is how God does it. God is like a sower that scatters seeds, and the seeds may be tiny, the seeds may be invisible to the naked eye, yet when the seed is planted, it grows into a shrub that provides shelter. It grows into a shrub that provides shade for the creatures of the world. And then Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. The initial evidence may be tiny, but the ultimate results can be great. And I invite you and me today, this week, this month, the remainder of this year, start looking for the mustard seed. Start looking for the signs of the reign of God. Start resist the temptation to dismiss the small and the insignificant things and insignificant people that you might come in contact with. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on other people. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on humanity just because we see signs of sin and brokenness and hatred and evil and war and polarization and racism and sexism and poverty and homelessness and hunger and greed. Don't give up on the world. Instead, I want to invite you to believe. Believe in the possibility, even if the evidence is just as small as a mustard seed. Believe that you and I can make a difference in this world. You see, it's possible to become so hardened in our lives that these seeds will never find good ground. God has spread the seed. What ground is it falling on? Thomas Merton reminds us of an important fact when he writes, "The mind that is the prisoner of conventional ideas cannot accept the seeds of an unfamiliar truth and a supernatural desire. How can I receive the seed of freedom if I'm in love with slavery? How can I catch and cherish the love of God or even the love of someone else if I'm filled with an opposite desire?" I read a quote by Michael Beckwith this week, and he said, "The moment we change our consciousness, our world changes, and we begin creating a new whole agreement, a new perspective, a new way of thinking, a new possibility. Living as if you and I and others are nobody denies the basic fact of life and the basic fact of faith. It denies God's love for you. It denies your love for me, and it denies my love for you." And so, if you have become trapped in this kind of negative thinking, what I want to invite you today to embrace is a new point of view. I want to invite you to embrace a new perspective. The invitation is to let go of the old perspective and to be open to this gift of a new vision. This is not only a vision for you, it's not only a vision for yourself, but it's also a vision for the future. It's also a vision for the world, believing that you and I and each person is a child of God. That God's beginning may be small. God's results are excellent. And so the task that you and I have today is to look. Look for the signs of the kingdom. Look for joy. Look for some peace. Look for some love. Look for some hope. Look for some serenity, some humanity, some humility. Look for some kindness. Look. Look for some benevolence, some empathy, some generosity. Look. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it in the person next to you? Can you see it in the person who lives across the street from you? Can you see it in the person who works with you? Can you see it in the person on the playground that you play basketball or tennis or pickleball with? Can you see it? Can they see it in you? Can they see it in you? Look for the seed. And all the while knowing that they may be no larger than mustard seed. No larger than a mustard seed. No matter what your situation, and I'm closing, no matter what your condition, God has something important for you and I to do, and it's more than just complain. It's more than just naming the problem. All of us can do that. It's more than just throwing up our hands and quitting. It's more than just pointing the finger. God has something important for you and I to do. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to sing on a worship team, but God has something for you, some life for you to touch. With your joy, your hope, the new perspective. Mother Teresa said it like this, and this is it. You know, in the black church, when the pastor says that they're closing, y'all ain't been to a black church yet. When the pastor says they're closing in the black church, that means they have about 30 more minutes. So I'm closing. Mother Teresa said it like this. She's the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. And she began her orphanage with this vision. She told her superior, I have 3 pennies and a dream from God to build an orphanage. A dream and 3 pennies represented the resources as small as a mustard. Mother Teresa's superior said, chided and gently said, you can't do anything with 3 pennies. And Mother Teresa said, with 3 pennies in God, I can do a whole lot. There's a mustard seed planted in you somewhere. There's a mustard seed planted in me somewhere. Is it growing? Can you see it? Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for the mustard seeds that you have planted in each of our lives. This week, allow someone to come by and put a little fertilizer around it. Allow someone to put some water on it. And then allow the sun to shine so that it begins to grow.